We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Spins, gets inside, left-handed off the glass. Oh, what a sweet move.
Giddy, tough spot, back door, what a pass, what a play. And J-Dub picks the pocket of Trae Young. He'll take it himself.
This isn't Dart, you're listening to the Uncontested.
What is up and welcome to the Uncontested podcast, coming to you live for... No, I was about to say Friday. Sunday, April 7th, right after the Thunder win the ugly baby contest against the Charlotte Hornets, 121-118. I'm your host for the evening, Jacob Niffen. With me tonight, got my guy, J.D. Silva.
Hello.
Got Justin Peabody.
Hello, everybody.
And we've got Taylor Peterson.
Thunder back in the win column. But honestly, I'm so excited for playoff basketball. We are so much closer after tonight.
Exactly.
I don't know. Just give me a 7-game series against the Hornets, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Playoff level basketball. We are brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network and the best two restaurants in downtown Oklahoma City, Spark and Dave's. I want to give a big shout out once again to everyone who came out to Dave's Hot Chicken Friday night for the watch party. We had an absolute blast. Ate way too much food. Unfortunately, the Thunder lost, but it was still a great time, great food, great friends. We had a wonderful, wonderful time. So thank you all for coming out. Speaking of, got another live pod on the horizon. 1 week from today is the final game of the regular season against the Dallas Mavericks. That game tips in Paycom Center in Oklahoma City at 2:30 p.m. Central Time. Around 5 p.m. Central Time, that game will conclude, and we will be live right after that game on the patio at Spark. So if you will be at Paycom, come through, hang out after the game, listen to the live pod. If you are not going to Paycom that day for the game, I believe the weather is supposed to be 72 degrees. Come out to Spark, get yourself a burger, enjoy the game on the TV, and then hang out with us afterwards. And if you're unable to do that, just join us in the live chat like you always do. If you're out of town, if you're out of country, that will be an early Sunday night game or Sunday night podcast, 5 p.m. instead of 9 p.m. That might be a detriment to us depending on if seating is still up in the air with evening games. We will see. And then we will have a lot more information for you later in the week as we finalize our plans for playoff and pre-playoff coverage. Because, fellas, one more Sunday show, and we are in postseason basketball.
We are back.
So back.
Tonight they secured home court, top four in the West, which means we will get a game one home playoff game for the first time since 2016, 8 years. Before we dive into this Hornets game, if you are in the live stream tonight, go hit that like button on the YouTube video. It means a ton to us. Every time I go to our YouTube page, each video has like 200 likes, which is incredible. But those are rookie numbers. This is playoff time, baby. Got to crank that thing up. Get us higher numbers on those likes, please. Hit that button while you are here. If you're watching the YouTube video later, make sure you comment and also hit that like button. And if you're listening to the podcast version, make sure to drop that 5-star rating for us. Also hit that follow button. Make sure if you are visiting the page for the first time tonight to check out one of our live streams, subscribe to the show. That would mean a ton to us. We would really, really appreciate that. With that being said, we got a full show for you tonight. Tons of stuff. I'm going to talk about the Charlotte game. Was JD frozen for a second there, or was I frozen?
That is Silva, and he's still frozen for my screen. Very blurry, very frozen, very serious. Serious look.
Uh-oh.
That's not good for JD.
And there he goes.
We're going to break down the Charlotte game. We're going to do our Dave's Hot Chicken Hot Take of the Week. We are going to draft Thunder opponents in the first round from least favorable to most favorable. And we have a race so hot it might be Reaper level for the final predictions to close out the season. Let's start with this Thunder versus Hornets game, gentlemen. JD is doing some sort of weird dance in the background of the video now.
I wish everybody could see it. that was fantastic.
Making sure it's not buffering.
My favorite part was just looking at the private chat we have, and it's just Silva saying, uh-oh.
Thunder go to Charlotte for the fifth game of a 5-game road trip tonight. No Shea, no J-Dub. Pretty significant. No Gordon Hayward. We can debate the significance of that. They tried to lose it, but they come out with a 121-118 win to go 2-3 on the road trip out east. All things considered, like, that's not the worst. Big thoughts, takeaways, themes. What is the headline of this one, boys?
I like reminiscing just as much as the next guy, but it felt like, without Shea and J-Dub, it feels like we're reminiscing a little too much about the tanking years, and I'm tired of it.
What got me was I watched the Hornets broadcast tonight because their announcers are phenomenal, and they put up a graphic that was like, hey, look at the nights all the former Thunder players had. And it was
all double digits in efficiency.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Double-double for Micić, 4 threes for Bertans, double digits from Poku and Trey Mann. They had a great night, and Gordon sat on the bench.
Yeah, it is what it is.
Yeah. I was going to say, I'm still okay with that.
Still like, okay with it.
Gordon's got ligma. He's out for a while.
Day to day. The real story for me is the story that has just been building game after game. Josh Giddey's back. Not to be confused with Bucks. Josh Giddey is
I did like that. That was well done.
Back. He's been balling lately. Today, 20 points, 13 boards, 13 assists. His aggression down the stretch. Him and Aaron Wiggins, and I guess Isaiah Joe, like the aggression from those three won the game. In spite of everything else not going super well. Giddey on both ends of the floor, too. Like, he was actually, he's still not an incredible defender, but he was giving effort down the stretch, and it made a difference. And I think if this translates to the playoffs, that's phenomenal for this team. My biggest question right now is, does it translate to Shea being back? I think that you can't ignore that part of the burst with Josh, is it seems like it's really reached another level with SGA out. If you can get a fraction of this, like 70% of this with Shea back, that's fantastic for this team.
Justin, in the 5-game road trip out east, Josh Giddey, 32 minutes a game, averaged 15.5 points on 50, 44, 69. Nice.
Split. Nice.
Nine rebounds.
The free throw line is not nice.
Yes, but the 50-44 is nice.
Yes.
And the 69 is just always nice.
6-9 paint.
One more time for me.
He needs to do some 6-9 things.
He did some 6-9 things at the free throw line.
Crazy.
9.2 rebounds, 8.4 assists. 15, 9, and 8 in the past five.
That's
fantastic. Pretty Justin, good. I loved what you mentioned in regards to what does this Giddy look like when Shea is healthy and Dub is on the floor again. We saw some of that, Josh playing well with Dub, but there was no Shea. And one thing
I go back to that New York Knicks game.
New York, yeah.
Yep. Yeah, great point.
But Raymond played.
My point is Shea wasn't 100% there, obviously, and we haven't seen him since then because of that. But I kept thinking, like, okay, no Shea, no Dub. Josh has been playing awesome. I want to see him be aggressive. Maybe he can be the score. And kind of the conclusion I've come to after this road trip is we don't need him to be that. He's been setting up teammates regardless. He's making the right plays. He's still being aggressive, going downhill. He isn't that kind of player. He's not going to be the guy when Shea and Dub are out to score 30 points, even though we saw that here a couple of weeks ago. Nor is he the spot-up shooter, playmaking four that we saw earlier in the season when he was struggling so much. We're seeing him play to his strengths. And I'm even, weirdly enough, after this road trip, I think I'm more optimistic about Josh and his fit when Shea and Dub are both healthy and playing again than I was before this road trip because of the way he's able to impact the game. I think the things he's doing are very sustainable without him having to score, you know, 20-plus, 30-plus, Shea and Dub out.
There's a chance during the playoffs he does have some big scoring outbursts as teams position themselves to load up on Dub and Shea. What's been most impressive for me in the Giddy run, the confidence, but the finishing at the rim. Like, even though if like the threes go in or not, like tonight he was like cutting and catching and like hitting these reverses and these up and unders. And I think Silva tweeted the meme a few weeks ago of like the hands breaking the chains that said Josh Giddey's career if he dunked the basketball. Like, that's what I want. Summer, I want Josh Giddey just to do squats and calf raises every single day and just come back and yam on dudes, because he's gotten so much better at the rim. When other teams load up on the big two, not only is Josh Giddey, like Taylor mentioned, so smart at playmaking and setting guys up, to be smart at that, you also have to be smart enough to be able to do it when you don't have the ball in your hands, which is, instead of playmaking, you are making those cuts and making those flares. He has been cutting wonderfully, and I think he's going to get a lot of good looks off of Shea and Dub with that in the playoffs. I mean, I could see Giddey having like multiple 20-point nights. He has been awesome. And to tag on to Taylor's point, I think whenever they're fully healthy, he's going to be that connector piece. Like, I'm not going to say he's been a great defender, but he's been more than passable.
Agreed.
He has like become a madman on the glass. He can be that guy that like is a positional defender, crashes the glass really hard, kickstarts the break, and he can set the screen and be the guy that short rolls and play makes and is that connective tissue between everybody, but then can also, if you play off him, get to the floater, get to the cup, make the layup. There's so many different things he can do. I think he's finally easing into himself, and you couldn't ask for it at a better time.
In typical Taylor fashion, I took us down a rabbit hole, which led us to big picture, big theme, Josh thoughts moving forward. But I thought our guy, Vieson, had a great point. Giddey had a big rebound still at the end of the game, which was huge. But not only that, he hit those two huge free throws at the end of the game, which essentially iced the game for OKC. Him doing that with Shea and Dub out is extremely promising, I think.
It feels like all the confidence-related issues he was having are just gone now. We'll see what happens when the playoffs come, because I do think, you know, how the Rockets treated him, how the Mavericks treated him, where they totally ignored him. I think a team is going to try that. It could be the first-round matchup, or if they make it beyond that, I could see that happening. Or just in a game, in a series, that's going to happen again. But I do think he is much more equipped now to handle that.
Oh, I think if somebody tries the full ignore now, Silva, he's going to bust their ass.
Yes.
Like,
straight at him this time.
His quote about, you know, how he used to dread that because he felt like he had to make him pay by shooting. Like, I don't know that he said it that way, but that's what he was implying. If you're going to leave me wide open, then I got to shoot. And he knows it's probably not going to go in. And that's tough. And I think he's flipped that mentality to to what you and Jacob are saying, the aggression to drive to the basket. Yeah, you can play off me and I'm still going to drive right at you and finish at the rim. That's a huge change in his play style from the beginning of the season. That can diffuse any team's strategy of trying to play off him.
And not just finish at the rim, but create for teammates as well. He's found that balance again between being aggressive and being able to finish around the rim or draw a foul, but also being able to find those open teammates. Him having that balance again is huge because I think a lot of the issues early on the season was him trying so hard just to finish around the rim. We've talked a lot about Josh Giddey. We can move on. But I think that balance is huge.
Last thing about Josh Giddey is our guy Curtis in the chat said he's finally getting in a rhythm after filming Dune 2. Was probably taking away too much from his own court time. Timothy Chalamet, wonderful performance on and off the big screen recently. Another takeaway from this one for me is a theme that has just kind of continued through the road trip. I was going to word it a worse way. I don't want to disparage anybody. We are starting to get a very clear line of delineation of who is going to play and be impactful in the playoffs and who probably is not. And I've said it all this week during these away games. Cason Wallace, Aaron Wiggins, Kenrich Williams, Isaiah Joe, situationally J. Will. Situationally. Mm-hmm. He was not that great tonight. But my guy, number 55 pick in the draft, Aaron Wiggins,
so
just
good.
Came out and was like, hey, he always calls Trey Mann his twin. Hey, twin. And then just smacked the shit out of him and just went at him over and over and was like finishing at the rim and splashing threes. I mean, he was all 26 and six steals, guys. I tweeted from the account. There's like after game two of the first round, some buffoon from, I don't know, the Nets are going to tweet, do we need to go drop a bag on Aaron Wiggins this summer? Because he is about to like make his national debut. I think he's a dark horse candidate for a guy that can win you a playoff game.
I've been saying this. I quote tweeted it from the account. I pulled it up from, I think it was about a week ago. Play Wiggins more, TM trademark. You've got to play Aaron Moore. I mean, he's just been absolutely fantastic. 26 points, like you mentioned, Jacob. I'm 11 and 20 shooting. Still doing the Aaron Wiggins things that we've been accustomed to, even when he's not doesn't have quite as big of a role. The six steals just is a perfect example of that. Diving on the floor for loose balls. It was there down the stretch in the clutch where he actually gave up a steal to the Hornets. And then hustles down the other end of the floor, gets a steal of his own, is able to get away with the ball before a jump ball. Dignall's able to call a timeout, and that essentially led to the another Isaiah Joe three, which won the game for OKC outside of those
huge
giddy free throws. I mean, that's what Wiggins does. And how do you not play a player like that more in the playoffs? I mean, I'll be shocked if Hayward is eating into those minutes.
He's really good at flipping the switch of being a glue guy when it's needed and doing all the dirty work, or being like your traditional sixth man where he can score, like he had 26 tonight. He can do a ton of stuff off the dribble. I sneakily think he's one of the better like dribblers on the team. I don't know where I'd put him. You do a dribbler draft in the offseason. We have nothing to talk about. But he's just really good. And
a good old double D.
Jacob mentioned on like Wednesday.
And Corey Brewer, the drunken dribbler.
his like layup package is pretty insane. Like what he can do at the rim. He always does this. Like he'll hang in the air and bump into someone for a while and somehow get it up and over him. He's really impressive.
11 of 20 from the field tonight for him. Two rebounds, five assists. ESPN's only given him four steals. Cowards. Fix the box score. We touched on Josh Giddey's triple-double. I thought Cason Wallace was great. I thought Isaiah Joe, once again, was great. Kenrich Williams was just fine. Two guys that I want to mention, though, I want to give a big shout out to. One guy had an up and down road trip, but I thought finished very, very strongly. Chet Holmgren has 20, 10, two assists, two steals, two blocks tonight. 6 of 12 from the field, 3 of 6 from 3. Hasn't been shooting the three ball well lately. Did tonight. I thought he did a lot of great things. And shout out to Taylor's favorite player. Lindy Waters III came in and had himself a hell of a game. Definitely a break glass in case of emergency. But shout out to Lindy Waters. Great.
Surprisingly,
Norman North's own. Thank you very much.
Yeah, that's right. Jacob, I'm curious your thoughts here. But originally, and when we think of Lindy, we think of a player who's going to come in and be a spark plug off the bench and be able to, because of his three-point shooting. That wasn't the case when he first was inputted into the game.
He was like getting steals and locking up.
Yeah,
and
he was the one who kind of kick-started the defensive effort there in the second quarter that was completely missing in the first. And that's great to see from Lindy. I think we went and saw him at Jacob, myself, and our good friend Kerry went and saw him play in the blue with the blue. And I guess their playoff game before they made it to was the Western Conference. No, tonight was the Western Conference Finals.
They're currently game up 67-59 in the third quarter, by the way.
Great. Lindy was super confident, and we're seeing that confident translate here with Dub and Shea out when he was flown in on that road trip. So I could not agree more. I thought Lindy was fantastic, especially on the defensive side of the ball.
Good game from Lindy.
I do have some thoughts on Chet, though.
Oh, boy. Here we go. All right. We're about to run out of time, so make him quick on this. So we
I will.
Move on.
I really will. He had, so at halftime, he had 14 points and 6 rebounds. He only had 6 points and 4 rebounds in the second half. The first quarter, he was not playing very aggressive. And there's so many factors to get into here. He's extremely tired. It's his first season. He has tired legs. Also, he's obviously going to be playing much better when you have a player or two players like Dub and Shea in the lineup. That being said, I was wanting to see more from Chet during this stretch without Dub and Shea, and I'm not sure we really have seen that. I mean, honestly, you could throw in one of the Zeller twins or fill in the blank center in the NBA, and they probably would have 20 and 10 tonight against the Hornets. I wasn't super impressed with Chet's game tonight, honestly.
If you throw in one of the Zeller twins in place of Chet Holmgren, I'm no longer podcasting about this team.
He did airball a 3 with like 5 or 6.
Did you see him joking with Isaiah Joe on the bench about that? He shot a 23 footer about 15 feet.
Yeah. Yeah. That was tough.
Who among us has not done that?
Yeah. Last thing, and don't cheat if you're already looking. Who had the best plus minus in this game?
I actually haven't seen
Lindy?
This.
I'm going to guess Giddy.
Oh, Giddy was going to be my guess. I'll go with somebody different because I am not looking this up.
Wojciechowski?
Give me Wiggins.
Poku, baby.
Poku.
Oh, I thought you were meaning just Thunder players.
Nope. Yeah, I did.
Poku was a plus 27.
Good for Poku. He dunked on Jay Will and then flexed on him.
Sean, chime in on Poku in the chat.
Sean's in the chat. All
right,
it was definitely a revenge game for the Thunder Hornets.
Yeah.
Let's take our first break of the night. On the other side, we will take some hot takes. We'll be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And we are back. It is time for my favorite segment of the week, the Dave's Hot Chicken Hot Take of the Week. The East Hollywood pop-up sensation turned fast casual superstar Dave's Hot Chicken is now serving Oklahoma in Bricktown, Edmond, and soon in Chisholm Creek. Very soon in Chisholm Creek. Their mouth-watering sliders and tenders are offered at 7 spice levels, ranging from no spice to Reaper. I don't know. Our buddy Luke, who was at the game at the watch party, did order a Reaper tender. Shout out, Luke. Each piece of hand-breaded chicken is spiced to order using a blend crafted specifically for its heat level or no spice at all, along with sides of house-made kale slaw, creamy mac and cheese, and crispy seasoned fries. I tried to bully everybody Friday night into getting cheese on their fries. And you can now try the new Dave's Not Chicken. Those are cauliflower slices that taste just like Dave's Hot Chicken, but they're not. They're cauliflower. Visit Dave's Hot Chicken in Bricktown, right next to Fuzzy's Taco Shop in front of the movie theater, before or after the next Thunder home game. You got 4 chances coming up, folks. Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Sunday. It is time for the hot take of the week. Those of you in the live stream tonight, if you got a hot take, tag it with hot take and then drop whatever your take is. We'll choose our favorite 2 or 3 and read them here momentarily. But you degenerates, who's got the first hot take of the night?
It's me. We're all, here it is. We're all going to like the Thunder's first round playoff matchup.
Interesting.
Maybe you light mild.
Damn it.
We'll get into this. We'll get into this in the end.
We're going to like it.
Everyone's going to like it. Everyone's going to feel comfortable.
We're all meaning the Uncontested Podcast.
Yes. Yes.
Very extra hot.
Ooh. Okay.
I think I lean with Jacob on this one.
Okay.
Nick is going to come on
so much more optimistic.
Yeah. Nick 100% is coming on to poo poo.
Yeah. All right. Well, I'll take that.
Who's got another one?
I'll go next. My hot take is that Gordon Hayward plays less than 5 minutes the entirety of the playoffs.
Ooh. The entirety.
The entirety. That makes it spicy.
You determine how many games that is.
That is a Reaper take, my brother.
Lincoln's pretty serious.
I was thinking extra hot because that is a low number for the entirety.
It is a low number.
I like it. I think
the next 4 games tell us a lot about whether or not that could be a possibility.
I think Mark's going to throw him out there. I think he's going to value the experience.
Value the experience.
What if he's just like hurt now? That's also an option. You know,
he might be.
Fair.
He's hurt me personally.
Going on. Yeah.
I want to go with my emotions.
Our friend Matt Clarkson in the chat says Gordon Hayward's played his final minutes for the Thunder.
Ooh,
there you go.
Even more spicy.
See, Nick Jordan in the chat, maybe if we got swept, that would only be 4 games. But if we're on the road to being swept, you're throwing out Gordon Hayward. Like at that point, like, why not? Let him start game 4.
Here's my hot take. You guys ready?
Yep.
Lil Ol Jacob, who has never drank alcohol in his life, who has never engaged in anything. This team has me buying a pack of Marlboros a day during the playoffs.
Going to be
just
railing sick.
Chain smoking them bitches.
Out of anxiety. I'm going to give you a Reaper there. I don't think that will happen, but I think we'll get multiple reference of that.
You guys are going to have me on the post game just blasting cigs.
Will you show up
live 5 next
to a post game with a cigarette in your hat, like the
you want me like tuck it behind my ear?
Yeah, like the absolutely. LeBron meme at the press conference. Yeah.
I will 100% do. Do you want me to do that if they win a series?
Whenever you're stressed out.
Oh, then I'm gonna have the whole pack behind. I'm gonna like roll it up Thunder, in my sleeve like I'm a pony boy.
A greaser.
If the Thunder make
the
Western Conference Finals this year, Jacob has to smoke a cigarette live on the stream.
My mom listens to this podcast. I'm about to get a call. Jacob, if I go dark here for a second,
you do well.
Oh man.
Curtis in the chat says, make it a blunt. This is going to end up with like me smoking meth on the show.
Hey,
just going to just spiral downhill.
You know,
chances of that and cigarettes are about equal for me.
Fair.
Both are really low.
Oh, thanks for clarifying.
I'm glad you clarified.
We're going to have Silva smoking meth out of a Dr. Pepper can before this thing's over, baby.
Thunder up. My hot take.
You guys Case didn't give me a rating, did you?
No spice. This is happening.
Oh. I said Reaper because I don't think it's happening.
Wow. We'll that one's all over references. The place. We got a no spice, a Reaper, and a mild. All right.
Cover all the bases. My hot take is that Cason Wallace sees 25 minutes per game in the duration of the Thunder's playoffs. For reference, post All-Star game and the last five, without Shea and Dub, he's right at 20 minutes per game.
I'm putting this at Reaper. 25 is a lot. Feels like
I love
a lot.
Me some Cason.
I am going extra hot on that one, but I'm not willing to go Reaper on it.
I'll go hot.
So what I was going for, something a little spicy. Yeah.
Justin, will you hit some of the chat's hot takes?
I would love to.
It is hot and sexy and popping.
Why haven't we used that before for this?
Well, I agree. That needs to make more appearances. Yeah. Nick Jordan Jr., hot take, Chet will be benched for the last week of the regular season.
No, Chet has been on record multiple times, dropping it everywhere, that he wants to play every game.
You think that matters?
I think he sits the last one.
Yeah. I was going to give it extra hot for a very similar reason.
Give me extra hot, Nick.
Next one, Thunder Chick, hot take, Taylor's going to grow a playoff beard.
I don't think.
Reaper.
I think it's Reaper if you just take off the word playoff. I don't know if Taylor can grow a beard.
It's going to be dirty. If you guys want me, hey, you know what? I will make a bet right here on the Uncontested Podcast. If you all, if the listeners want me to, I will grow out facial hair during the playoffs until the Thunder lose.
Wow.
It will not be great.
Taylor's not going to be able to pick his son up from school now, folks. Thanks a lot.
I was going to say, I'm going to make note of this for the Bets podcast later and try to line one up with Taylor.
Hey, that's fair. We can save it. We can save it if we want to.
Should we do a playoffs bet pod?
Oh, no. It's no, stressful enough as is. I don't
agreed.
Need that.
That's kind of where I'm at.
I don't need that.
Barely.
Ibrahim says, hot take, Usman Jang gets more minutes than Cason Wallace in the playoffs.
Reaper.
Ibrahim went behind the register at Dave's Hot Chicken.
Is that allowed?
Got the spice for the Reaper, and instead of putting it on his chicken tenders, just like made lines with a credit card.
Yeah.
And rolled up a 20.
Yeah.
That'll do.
That'll do.
Let's see. George Goodwin, hot take. LeBron leaves the Lakers and joins the Thunder in the offseason as we draft Bronny James. OKC gets a ring and wins the chip next year.
I joked about smoking meth. I think George is actually smoking meth.
With LeBron, no, his kid wouldn't play.
He'd probably be cool with that.
Yeah. Wait for the Blue.
Yeah, I'm going Reaper there as well. He just kept adding on to it. Okay, so he gets a ring with a chip.
That was a lot.
Sounds like Taylor's. That was like, Dub is the best player over Shea when we win the title this season.
In the next 2 years. And incredible. It's looking good. Dare I say?
Sean says, hot take, Poku will be serving Dave's hot chicken at this time next year. No need to respond. Kyle Tate, hot off the press. Hot take, Jacob has a better chance of growing hair than Taylor has of growing a beard.
That's fantastic.
Taking shots at half the hosts. You love this.
Yeah, will someone get in the comments and shit on JD or Justin for a time, please?
That's not possible.
Say some disparaging things about these two jerks.
Everybody came up and was like, who's the one that always gets dunked on? We were like, well, it's either me or Jacob or Nick.
We have a comment from Grant. Documentary incoming, quote, how Crank killed the Uncontested Podcast.
Made it better.
Or made it better.
I don't know if that's possible. I don't know if meth could make this podcast better.
Probably not.
Could make it worse.
Touche. Gentlemen, I had this idea that we're going to doing the podcast here. Instead of just having the same old retired conversation who do we want the Thunder to play in the first round of the playoffs? I thought it would be more fun if we did a draft. So welcome to the Uncontested's Thunder playoff opponent draft. We are going to create a draft order, and we are drafting teams that the Thunder want to see in reverse order of the first round. Okay. So like the first, whoever has first pick, you are picking the team that we do not want to see. And we're going to work our way up to, this is the team we would want to see the most, that we have like the strongest feeling that the Thunder can beat them. Okay. So reverse order, starting at the least favorable matchup, going to the most favorable matchup. And we are drafting six teams. Those would be teams 5 through 10 in the current Western Conference final standing, or Western Conference finals, Western Conference standings. Dallas, Phoenix, New Orleans, Sacramento, Los Angeles Lakers, Golden State Warriors. The 10 is set. The Rockets can no longer make it into the inner circle.
See ya.
Suck it, Houston. maybe biased Houston will tweet about it. Yeah. I look forward to that.
Seems likely.
Or what's that other jackass's name?
Red 94.
Roosh.
I like how we went with multiple names.
I mean, fill in the blank.
So on brand.
Take your
All pick. Right. We got to determine a draft order. How do you guys want to do this? Should it just be the first four names in order in the chat?
Sure.
Chat, start dropping names. Let's whoever is the first one gets first pick, second gets second pick, so on and forth, so forth.
There we go.
Why they get that set up in the chat. Justin has gotten the lab and made us a nice little Thunder opponent's
Poor
tears.
Justin. We keep putting him on the spot, and he always responds with like, it's going to be a lot of work.
Justin,
and then he just
does his best work under pressure.
Every time. That's right.
Yeah. All right. Our first pick is in. Sean has nominated JD. Taylor.
Yeah, my guy,
Justin,
Sean.
Then JD, then myself. So Taylor, Justin, JD, and then me. Taylor, you are first pick in the opponent tier draft. You are picking the least favorable matchup of the top six.
Think this one's going to be one of the more controversial ones amongst us, as well as those in the chat, because I already have seen Lakers and a bunch of names thrown out. I'm actually not going with the Lakers. I am going with the Dallas Mavericks. 9-1 in their last 10. The last person you want to see in the playoffs with that playoff experience already is Luka. Plus, you have Luka and Kyrie just both being absolutely phenomenal. Kyrie was 2 points away from a 50-piece tonight in overtime, as well as like a 30-plus point triple-double for Luka. And all it really takes, I think, for the Mavs, when each of those players are playing so well, I understand their depth is a little questionable, like a lot of the teams we'll get into here moving forward. But all it takes is like THJ or Lively or one of those role players, bench players having a big game when when Luka and Kyrie are playing at that level. And so because of that, the Mavericks scare me more than the Lakers.
I get where you're coming from. I think that they're playing better lately. I think the additions they made at the trade deadline were really nice for them and probably change. Like it's easy to feel like the Thunder have kind of had the edge recently on Dallas, but I think some of those additions that they made could change the way that series looks. And the two wins the Thunder had this season over Dallas were when the Mavs weren't fully healthy. So I think that's fair.
Shadow Dallas was my pick here as well. You tack on everything Taylor said. Of the six teams that we're talking about, Dallas has by far the best player, which is worrisome.
Yep.
The two bigs in Dallas, I think, pose problems for OKC as far as rim protection, the Thunder getting to the basket, not just Chet, but the constant drive and kick and Shea and Dub living at the rim. I have Dallas as my least favorable matchup as well.
Super quick shout out to our guy Nick in the chat, Nick Jordan. He was there Friday night for the watch party, as well as about a week, 2 weeks ago for the Chicken and Pickle watch party. Big shout out to Nick. He does say, no faith in OKC. Dallas is not that scary. Nick, we aren't saying that we wouldn't pick the Thunder in a seven-game series against these teams. These are just...
That's the scariest teams. One to me, though.
Yeah, the scariest.
I believe JD has the next pick.
Hello. This one I'm going with the Lakers. I respect the Dallas pick. I may end up going with that myself, but got to go Lakers next. They're just a bad matchup for OKC, I think. Their two best players are bigger than anyone can reasonably guard on the Thunder, at least for a full potentially seven game playoff series. They're going to get a favorable whistle the entire time. It's just going to be really annoying. This isn't even taking away the on the court stuff. The off court stuff is going to be really annoying. I'm probably going to get addicted to cigarettes like Jacob. that playoff series happens. Yeah. Wouldn't want it.
I think this would be my fifth pick as well. JD, as far as who I want to see. Part of me doesn't buy into it. Yeah, the Lakers are 2-1 against OKC. Small sample size. The Lakers are like one of the worst three-point defenses in the league. The Thunder are the best three-point shooting team in the league. They do pose problems. Anthony Davis would be a huge issue. But it's day to Davis. Like, I think the Thunder could take advantage of that. But still, of all the remaining, there's so much experience on that team. So many like vets who have been there before, that makes me a little worried as well. I'd go Lakers here.
And if they can get healthy, they do have solid depth, but that's a big question with the Lakers is health.
Justin, you're up at pick number 4.
I was hoping I'd get one of the easy ones. I feel like this is when it starts to get a little mucky for me.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I feel like I have a clear cut team here, but this is the mucky part of the draft for sure.
I'm going to say Kings.
Ooh.
Because they just don't seem to have it this season. And they've beaten OKC 2 out of 3 times this season. And they beat, what was it, like 9 straight? They beat Oklahoma City over a couple seasons. And that's tough to ignore, right? The Sabonis matchup is tough for OKC, for anybody, but for OKC specifically. I think the just pulling back and thinking playoff matchup wise, like the OKC versus Sacramento playoff vibes would be off the charts, like the two best playoff atmospheres in the league. That would be super incredible. But I feel like the last game, it felt like an exercising of a demon for Oklahoma City. They finally shook the Kings off their back. And this is one where it's like, yeah, they've dominated the series lately, but I would not be surprised to see this be a 7-game series. Like, I think it'd be tough. I think it'd be a tough matchup all the way through.
I had Kings as my most favorite matchup for the Thunder. 5-5 in their last 10. No Monk. Extremely little depth.
No Herder
as well. I think the Thunder could win that one in like 5.
I think the Kings are also a matchup where the Thunder could easily get away with the Chet J. Will lineup. Put J. Will on Sabonis, which is a much better matchup just for the girth. And then put Chet out there on like Harrison Barnes.
Thick boys, is what you said during the live Chicken and Pickle podcast. Yeah.
One's thicker than the other, I think was the quote. third pick is mine. My fourth pick is still on the board, so it makes sense to put them at third here. I'm going with the New Orleans Pelicans.
Pelicans at 2.
The Pelicans have not been great recently. They did beat the Phoenix Suns today. I don't know when Brandon Ingram is expected to be back. I like a lot of the matchups across the board for the Thunder in a Pelicans series. Josh Giddey has always played well against the Pelicans. Chet Holmgren plays Jonas Valanciunas off the floor. I think the Thunder contains CJ reasonably well. And on the other end, CJ can't defend anybody on OKC. Herb Jones is a little bit of an issue, but they only have one Herb Jones. The worry is Zion. The Thunder just have nobody who can match up with him. I thought the last game they played, Dort did a wonderful job in that fourth quarter, picking him up full court. Zion only took three shots in the fourth quarter of that game. If you try to make Dort guard Zion full court for a seven-game series, like, we're holding a eulogy after game three. Like, he'll be dead. You know, there's just not a good matchup for him. I would not be upset with a Pelicans matchup, though. This is number three on our list of six, so it's top half.
Yep. This is the one I was probably debating the most with the Kings. I think that for all the reasons that you said, B.I.'s health is one of the bigger question marks on this one. I think, like you said, Oklahoma City has played them well, but they just feel like they could go off. It's one of those teams that could be Zion just ascending to another plane in a playoff series. Like, we haven't really seen yet, but it still feels like something that would be a very realistic possibility.
Personally, I think if they put Zion in that position to do it all and make him do everything, love the Thunder's chances. They're going to need outside help outside of that. But we'll get into that with our next two picks.
Who's doing the last two? Are we snaking this? Are we going back to the beginning?
We're snaking it. I get the second pick.
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Yeah.
Do it, TP.
So I actually had the Kings as the one I wanted the most, and I had the Pelicans, the team I wanted the second most. So I'm just going to go down my list here. Number three, I have the Phoenix Suns over the Warriors. Probably another controversial pick. They're 7-3 in their last 10, starting to get it going. Beal also starting to feel a little bit, which is exactly what you want if you're a Phoenix Suns fan. But Nurkic continues to get played off the floor, even when he's not playing the Thunder. And even when he is playing the Thunder and not being played off the floor, we saw that ridiculous rebounding game that he had two times ago when the Thunder played them. It didn't really matter. If you're zoning in on Nurkic to be the player for the Suns who are dominating the Thunder, Thunder are going to beat you. And not only that, but the inconsistency and lack of depth, I think, makes them a really good matchup for the Thunder. So I have the Suns here above the Warriors, which probably will be our next pick.
Probably.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about the Suns also. I think even if that series, I think the series is better the longer it goes, because just like last year when they played the Nuggets and played really well at first, like, the well dries up with KD and Booker eventually. And I don't think Beal can muster up that same level of playoff productivity. So yeah, Suns are a good matchup. Nurkic is not gonna hang around. And you have 36-year-old Kevin Durant. Is he 36 now? 36-year-old Kevin Durant and Devin Booker against just one defender after another, because the Thunder have a lot of answers for them, I think.
I think Taylor killed it there with the depth.
Yes.
Analysis. No depth there at all. And I just like Dort just gives Kevin a ton of problems. I love Dub on Booker. Either Booker, yep, or Beal, and Shea on the other one.
And then you throw in Cason Wallace off the bench to be, yeah, able to throw out either of those.
Even Aaron
three.
Wiggins. And yeah, then you just spam putting Nurk in the pick and roll. Like, you just spam it over and over and over and over and over until they got to take him off and they got to play KD at the five. And if you want to play small ball, that's OKC's bread and butter. Thunder are 3-0 against Phoenix this year. We don't even know if the Suns, like, we're talking about Beal being maybe an X factor. Beal going to play every game?
It's a good question.
Is Beal going to play every game? Like, those guys haven't played many games together this season. They've found a groove here lately. I think it's too little too late.
I do think, just like we've talked about the last couple of, like, there's a guy that could go off. That's like the one thing I can't get past with Phoenix of, yes, Oklahoma City dominated them this season, but if they figure it out in the playoffs, where, yes, depth is an issue, but does depth matter as much in the playoffs?
Like, I'm with you, Justin.
If you can go spam your stars 48 minutes a game, maybe not 48 minutes, but you get the idea, right? Like, they can lean heavy on their star power, and they've got star power.
But their star power is, like, so old. I think playing them all those minutes, by the time they get to game four, they're going to be cooked. I mean, who's their sixth best player? I mean, you got your starting five and then Royce O'Neal.
Bol Bol.
And then you got Bol Bol.
Right.
Please throw Bol, like, Bol out there in game four. Please.
You could win a first round playoff series without any contributions past the top three.
Assuming they stay healthy, though.
Assuming they play and assuming like they play at a peak level like they have lately. It's a lot of assuming.
Yeah, that's fair. But it's also like putting all your eggs in one basket, is it not?
Totally. No, for sure. Yep.
The Thunder have diversified the eggs and diversified the baskets. They got a chicken egg and a snake egg and a...
It's a good point. Look, to give Justin credit, that's why I had the Pelicans and Kings over the Suns, as well as this final team that we'll get into with our first pick.
Well, JD, why don't you take us home with pick number one?
Do it. Well, I guess I'm drafting the Warriors.
You're stuck.
I
better sell it.
The Warriors situation is similar off the court to the Lakers, where all that's going to be very annoying, but I'm much more favored the on-the-court situation here. The Warriors don't have a real identity. Steph hasn't been himself for most of the season. Klay's been heating up recently, but that can just kind of happen. Like, I think he scored 32 points tonight. They have depth issues also. They're relying on a lot of very young players to just stay afloat. Kuminga, I think, is kind of play. There's like Kuminga ball, and there's the rest of the team playing basketball. I just think they have a lot of weaknesses to exploit, and this would be like the perfect slay your old demons. It's the first time you're hosting a playoff series since they eliminated those Kevin Durant, that era of Thunder basketball. It'd be great. It'd be great. Ultimately, I'd be, you know, stressed because it's the Warriors and they could heat up like no other team in NBA history can heat up, as we've painfully seen before. But yeah, this is the team I'd be comfortable seeing.
I love that. I love the matchups across the board in this one. Like Steph is great, but he's old. Klay has been up and down all season. Who guards Shea in that matchup?
I don't know.
Draymond? Who guards Dub in like, that matchup? Yikes.
Wiggins. Yep. Wiggins is on.
Wiggins on Shea and Draymond on Dub.
I can pull the stats up here real quick if you give me a moment. But they turn the ball over like an insane amount. The Thunder live off of that. I love the matchups the Thunder can have defensively against the Warriors. I think Cason Wallace is a great player in that series. I think Kenrich Williams at the five, against Draymond Green. It's a great, like, I love the matchups across the board in that series.
I agree. I had the Suns and Warriors basically as a toss-up for my 3 and 4. I kind of interchangeable there. They're relying on Trayce Jackson-Davis, a rookie, starting at center with Looney off the bench. And probably come playoff times, they'll switch that, but still. Then you have Wiggins and Klay, who are so inconsistent offensively, specifically. Sure, maybe Klay can heat up for one game. Maybe Wiggins can heat up for two. But then you're relying on Pajemski, CP3, and Gary Payton. That's their rotation currently. Like, they can't expand that in the playoffs. They can't shorten that in the playoffs. That's what they have.
So for that reason,
I was like, again, interchangeable for me between the Warriors and the Suns. I don't dislike the 1 through 6 we came up with here. I think it's pretty fair.
Before we wrap up here, I just want to chime in real quick. I know this doesn't matter to anybody listening to the recording of this show, but the Blue up 8 with 7 minutes to go. Usman Jang with 21 and 13.
Yes, that's awesome.
Love that.
Great to see
him.
Great
Good
to
for
see
him, man.
Also, some college basketball news. There is more and more legitimate rumors that Coach Calipari is going to be the next head coach of the Arkansas Razorbacks.
Yeah,
so I believe that. Yikes! That's crazy.
Coach K is going to coach KD and Russ. He was seen at Charleston's.
So before we wrap this segment, who do we think it will be? 1 week to go. Who do we predict the Thunder face?
Suns or Pelicans?
You can't choose two, you son of a gun. You got to pick one.
I agree.
Suns
and Pelicans tied record-wise, 46 and 32. Suns have the tiebreaker. Suns have a more difficult schedule down the stretch. It depends on if you think OKC stays at 3 or jumps up into the top 2. I say it's going to be the Pelicans.
Yeah, that's probably fair. I'm almost leaning towards Suns. I'll go Suns.
I'm going
for
Suns.
The sake of the podcast.
I'm going Suns.
Three boys over here.
Is that 3-6 if it's the Pelicans?
Thunder in 4.
It's 3-6 if it's the Suns, I think.
Okay. It could 2-7 be 2-7
if it's the Pelicans. Well, yeah, could be.
It's all very confusing to me. I can't. Well, I can't, and I won't figure that out.
We'll know Sunday.
Don't matter. Thunder and four.
Unbelievable.
Thunder and four, baby. All right. Let's take our next break of the night. On the other side, our final predictions of the season. Who is going to win? We'll get to that right after this break.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
And we are back. Justin, why don't you give us an update on these predictions?
Yes, sir. We had a up and down week for everybody. Everybody went 500 last week. We all got our money ball. Thank goodness the Thunder pulled out.
I like that, though. I like that, the Thunder ball. May we use
Thank goodness the Thunder pulled out the win in Charlotte, because all five of us moneyballed that one last week. The results are as follows. Jacob sitting in first at 52 points on the season. Nick chipped into the lead by 1 point this week. He now sits at 50, followed by JD Silva at 48, Taylor at 45, and myself at 43. Four games to go.
Close.
Very close. It's not over for me.
It's not over for you, Silva, but it would take basically a miracle.
It would.
Hey, miracles happen, JD. Interesting thing.
Anything,
so
a little peek
behind the curtain. Every week when we make predictions, the whole team privately sends me their predictions so I can upload them in a spreadsheet. This week we decided to not send predictions to me because not that I would ever cheat and cook the books.
Not that that's why you're in first place or anything.
Not that that's why I'm in first place. But I didn't want to see Nick's selections this week and then just match it and be able to keep my 2-point lead. So we sent predictions to JD. So these are up in the air. Let's go through them. The first game we have to guess. Tuesday at home against the Sacramento Kings. Will J-Dub play? Will Shea play? Will Gordon Hayward play?
Ugh.
We don't know yet. Justin, what is your pick?
I'm going with the L in this one because of most of the reasons you said. I think the injuries are up in the air. I think the Kings have, other than the last time they played, been a tough matchup for this team. Feels like coming off a long road trip, this could be a trap.
It's a trap. Taylor?
I was torn on all four of these games. Because there's going to be a lot of variables going into them in regards to who's playing for who.
And this last week has scarred you?
Yes, 100%. 100%. However, I'm going with the W against the Kings. Thunder are finally back home. I think they're going to obviously play better because of that, after that road trip, as well as either of Dub or Shea, maybe both, are going to be back. So, W.
We're going to do these selections in order of the standings. So, JD, you're next.
I think SJ and Jada are going to be back. I think they're going to win the game.
So you're taking a dub.
Yep.
If we're going in order, Nick is next. So JD, tell us Nick's pick here.
Nick predicted an L.
Ooh, I predicted a W.
Yeah.
There's our first difference of the week. Next game, Wednesday at home against the San Antonio Spurs. Sega Baba. Wemby's been playing good. The Spurs have been in a lot of games. They beat Denver recently. Justin.
This is a dub, and it's my money ball.
Ooh.
Money ball.
Taylor.
This is where Justin can get up in front of me and put me in last place. I went with a loss against the Spurs because I kind of think, especially if both of Dub and Shea play against the Kings, that one of them will be out for the Spurs game. So second, I have a back-to-back. Thunder are exhausted. I'm going with the L.
JD.
I went with the W, Moneyball. Do I know why? Did I realize it was a back-to-back when I made that prediction? No.
Doesn't matter.
Amazing.
Thunder Moneyball.
What did Nick take?
He predicted a W.
No Moneyball.
No Moneyball.
I got the dub Moneyball Wednesday
Ooh.
Night.
Ooh.
Friday, they come home against the Milwaukee Bucks.
The Bucks.
God-awful on the road. Maybe just a god-awful basketball team. Justin, what happens when the... Damn, that tricked you. Justin, what happens when the...
Oh.
Taylor, you're...
Thank you, Silva. There we go. Sounder. I already did it. I didn't want to make A-plus it like, you know, too much.
I'm going with a win against Milwaukee. The East is weird. Who knows, like, who Milwaukee plays in that game? I think the Thunder probably still run out of lineup, especially if one of these games, like Shea and Dub, aren't back. I think they're going to want to get some continuity heading into the playoffs.
Taylor?
Also had the W against the Bucks. it's getting worse and worse as the season goes along. I'm, like, losing my voice. I could see the Bucks resting some players here down the stretch. I think it's going to be one of those weird games where neither team is at 100%. But still, Thunder at home, give me the W.
JD?
Yeah, I think the Bucks are a rancid team at the moment. And Chris Middleton got his tooth knocked out today.
Oh, I missed that.
Not even JD got hockey. His tooth knocked out at my house one time.
You're right, I was 16.
With the zipper of his coat.
Yep. What? How does that happen?
A cooler story.
I know. I was,
yeah. You know, someone just tossed him his jacket. The zipper hit his tooth, and
like I got my forehead busted open playing pickup basketball in the front driveway. Like that's a great story. Silva got his tooth chipped, or like how does this work?
Got robbed. It's me. You said it's us. It's me.
You're taking a dub.
I'm taking an L.
L.
After you just said they're a rancid team. And he lost his tooth, and then he went L against the Bucks.
Yeah, okay. Yes.
Yeah. Also, I forgot to say that my
logic checks out.
Yep. W against the Bucks is my money ball. Apologies.
Mm. Oh wow.
What's Nick got?
Ding ding.
He has an L money ball.
Oh,
L money ball.
I
making some swings.
I also took an L here. Last game of the regular season. Next Sunday night, Sunday afternoon. 2:30 p.m. Luka Doncic, his flat earth friend, come to Oklahoma City.
I love that band.
I almost did a spit take again.
Justin.
Who wins? Thunder take an L.
All right.
Who knows who even plays in this game for either team? Honestly, but I feel pretty good about the Thunder probably sitting some people, and for that reason, I'm going L.
Retweet for all the above reasons. I have the same result.
Justin, what was your money ball? Was it the Spurs game?
It was.
Taylor, you said you also take an L?
Correct, for the same reasons.
JD?
W. I don't know why. We're going to be there. You know, our presence will make them win.
Yeah, that's fair.
We need to have a good pod at Spark. That's why they win.
Hey, if they go like 3-1 and we lose that one against the Mavs because we're sitting people, it'll still be a great, great podcast.
What did Nick have?
He had an L. So he went loss, win, loss, loss.
I have a dub.
Ah, here it is.
Amazing.
I took a dub because I think both teams will be at a point where seeding is locked in. They do not need to play anybody. And I think the Thunder's B team is better than the Mavericks B team.
Usman Jang breakout by that.
Lindy.
It's going to be spicy.
Usman Jang is going to come to that game.
There was
with
a
his
pause
G
there.
League
way too long.
There
pause.
Was a very long pause there.
He's going to come to the game with his G League championship trophy.
Yes.
He's going to make them all look like little boys.
Amazing.
Three so and four. Nick went LWLL.
Yeah.
I went WWLW.
Three of the four are different.
Thank God.
Both money balls different. This is going to be fun.
I can't let Nick win.
No, you cannot.
That's why I need to win.
That son of a bitch is going to make us all go broke in Vegas.
Yeah.
Guys have seen him eat before?
Yeah. Unfortunately for you, Silva, based off the predictions we just got, you are now mathematically eliminated.
Yeah, you know.
I was gonna say,
you and Jacob picked the exact same games. Yeah. So
maybe I can beat Nick. That'll feel good.
Yes.
Ah, there you go.
You can. That is Poor a very Nick. Real possibility.
He's sending us pictures. Nick. He's literally watching this on his TV back at home. He's got home here a little bit ago.
All right. Gentlemen, great show. Hey, if you're in the live stream, which is a lot of you, it is currently 10:10 p.m. The Blue are about to advance to the G League Finals. They are up 9 with 2.5 minutes to go. And the Oklahoma City Thunder. Their plane is due to land in about an hour. If you aren't doing anything, head out to Will Rogers World Airport. Greet the guys as they come back in. Give them a little taste of what playoff basketball is going to look like. Bring your cigarettes because we're all going to be smoking in the playoffs. Don't bring your meth. You might get arrested. Thank you guys for tuning
in to
the show.
Untest podcast.
We will be back Wednesday after that Spurs game. No pod on Tuesday. We'll be back Wednesday, though. We'll be here Friday after that Bucks game. And then next Sunday, we're out at Spark at 5 p.m. Central Time, right after the conclusion of the Thunder versus Dallas Mavericks, to talk to you about the ending of the season. We might be able to talk playoff matchups if the Thunder are third. If they're top two, we're going to have to wait until those play-in games, which is kind of exciting. Adds a little bit of variability. I like it. We will see what happens, but regardless, it has been a hell of a run, and we are locked in to game one and game two of the first round of the playoffs in Oklahoma City, folks. Gonna get wild. Carl's a degenerate, chief degenerate, Carl Green. Thank you, Carl. Have a great beginning of your week. We will see you Wednesday night. Make plans. Join us after that Spurs game. Until then, and as always, we're on to the playoffs, baby.